Radio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is strongly advised. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Greetings and felicitations.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Live long and prosper.
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Just in case you've forgotten.
I can answer none of your questions at this time.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I am in command of the Enterprise.
Mace.
I object to intellect without discipline. I object to power without constructive purpose.
Omega.
May I say that I have not thoroughly enjoyed serving with humans. I find their illogic and foolish emotions a constant irritant.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
I feel what you feel. I know what you know.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a.
Joe, I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Now can you dig that, sucker?
There are always possibilities, Fox.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. There's a lot to talk about today. We've got walkouts, we got Hall of Fame rumors and confirmations. More importantly, I had to stop watching a really damn good ROH event to do this show, so this better be damn good.
This show's gone on too long. Someone should have tapped out by now.
Someone should have tapped out in the opening. Are you kidding? And the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the little network, and the people who will be disappointing me tonight are Mace.
Yeah, I'm going to be disappointing because, frankly, Rock stole my joke. God damn it, you son of a bitch. I was gonna say, be right back and I'll watch a Ronda Rousey match. I'm back.
Got that whole thing pirated on Instagram, which is absolutely true.
Yeah, that's Vine.
Well, yeah, why bother? Why bother?
Yeah, screw YouTube. We can cover her events on Vine and in GIF format.
I don't even have to buy the UFC event. I just wait for it to show up in my Twitter feed.
Funnily enough, that's how I actually saw it. Here's the literal 30-second video.
Yeah, and that was with pre-fight, a little post-fight.
The pre-fight promos went for longer than the goddamn fight.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so the interview afterwards. And the man who nearly walked out after an argument with himself, the one and only Tim Stein.
Huh?
You obviously weren't paying attention to the right sort of news this week, Tim.
I obviously missed whatever the hell it was you were talking about.
It's referential. We'll talk about it in the headlines.
Oh, I see. Gotcha. Good
evening. Welcome to the program. Please follow along.
Nah, this is too much work for me to do that. Welcome to another edition of WTR Saturday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Give me 30 seconds, guys. I'm watching the replay of the Divas match from last Monday.
God. Poor Paige was sitting in the, just standing in the ring through the entire commercial break waiting for that match, and it's like 20 seconds.
A commercial break and a hype promo for Sting.
Okay, it's over. I'm back. Boy, that was short. It seemed like it took forever compared to the Ronda Rousey fight, though.
How many Ronda Rousey fights can you fit inside the time of a Divas match?
Two!
15.
2¼, apparently. So, yeah, that was interesting. Everybody's all up in arms and screaming like crazy because the Divas weren't given any more than 30 seconds on Raw. But Ronda Rousey winds up submitting her opponent in 13 seconds, and everybody's just over the moon over shit like that.
Well, that's the difference between fake and real fighting, Tim.
Yeah, so.
You know, when you're pretending to fight and it's over that quick, it's disappointing. When you literally watch someone beat the shit out of someone that efficiently, yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, well, that headstand that Ronda Rousey did at the beginning of the night, that was impressive. At the beginning of the fight, where she just went straight over head over, what do they call it? Tits over tea kettle.
What?
You've never heard that expression?
No.
Really?
I was born this century.
Wow. Tits over tea kettle was from this century.
No, our version is ass over tits. We just get straight to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Australian version, ass over tea kettle. That's Eastern Canadian, I think. Oh, well.
I've just never heard of tea kettle being involved.
You obviously...
Head over heels, I've heard...
Yeah.
I've heard ass over tits.
Mm-hmm.
Tea kettles never became involved in anatomy.
You are obviously devoid of any British in your body at all whatsoever.
I am quite a fan of British media. Between Red Dwarf, Doctor Who, Top Gear, I've seen a lot of British shit.
Yeah, all the British geek shit. Tits over tea kettle is not a geek shit.
I've just never heard of a tea kettle involved when referring to anatomy in any way. Or physical orientation, for that matter.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. First I'll ask you, then I'll ask Mace. Have you ever heard of the phrase, done like dinner?
Yeah.
Okay, Mace, have you heard that phrase?
Yes, I have.
Okay, fair enough. When I first used that in front of Rock, we were talking, he's like tried to correct me. He says, don't you mean stick a fork in him, he's done? He never heard that phrase before in his entire life. Done like dinner.
It's just how you were raised. Not every phrase is universal.
There, you just proved my point. Thank you very much. Where were we? Oh, yeah. We're going to do a little bit of a wrestling show and talk about a couple of things here before...
Yeah, we talked through 4 Ronda Rousey fights.
I thought it was 5 or 6. Welcome to the Ronda Rousey pay-per-view, 2-hour program here for the next 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 45 seconds. Let's just dive right into some wrestling talk and go with win or fail and start with Mace because Omega ever likes to go first.
Is it bad that, like, I've gone my usual pick one and have a backup? Is it bad that my first picks for both win and fail this week are absolutely non-wrestling related? Like my win for this week is like on a tangent, which would be Ronda Rousey winning in 14 seconds.
Well, normally we do like win and fail pertaining to professional wrestling from the past week. But you know what? I'm going to give you leeway this time. Go ahead. Your win.
All right. Well, I'll give you the one that I have planned, which was Ronda Rousey winning in 14 seconds, but we've ran that topic into the ground already. So I'll go to my backup.
Yes,
I'll go to my backup, which is the Cena-Rusev feud.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually enjoying this shit.
You're getting into that. That's just...
I am, because, and it's not really that it's anything Cena's really doing that's dragging me in. It's all the, what, that's what's going on with Lana and Rusev. Like,
it's,
you know,
Lana's
Well, that's a given, but the fact, you know, Rusev made Cena pass out, and then Cena's come out and go, well, I want my rematch, because technically I didn't, you know, you didn't pin me, you didn't submit me, blah, blah, blah. And Rusev's pretty much just gone around in a very long-winded way, said, no, fuck off.
That's paraphrasing, but I'll allow it.
Well, yeah, of course it's paraphrasing, but... the whole thing that it's like somebody like Cena's going, well, you know, I'm going to try and goad you into a rematch and try and make you be the do the honorable thing, and Rusev's just like, nah, I've beaten you, piss off, little man.
Yeah,
it's great, because now Cena really has to work to convince Rusev.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time Cena had to really work to convince somebody that they were worthy of beating the shit out of him?
Yeah, no kidding. But
how did he ask Nikki out?
Got Daniel Bryan to do it. hey, Bryan, tell your wife that I think her sister's hot. Oh. Actually, no, Cena would have just walked up to Nikki and flashed, you know, a big wad of $100 bills and go, here you go.
100? No, 1,000.
Unless they've created, you know, wads of $1,000 bills, which, you know, most of us won't be able to get access to. Tim will stick with the wad of hundreds.
Yeah, they don't make $1,000 bills.
Oh, they don't have American $1,000 bills? Huh?
No, they don't keep the denominations that high, because the higher it goes, the easier it is to smuggle.
I see. I remember coming across an envelope full of $1,000 Canadian bills that my mother had. I was snooping in her purse. I think I was 12 or 13. And I thought, that was impressive. What is Mom doing with all these $1,000 bills, Canadian legal tender?
Well, you know, the only places that I can, off the top of my head, say that there are $1,000 bills would probably be Japan.
Well, that's 1,000 yen, but that's 10 bucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Not even that right now.
Yeah, that's a bit of an interesting story. I don't know if Canada still makes a $1,000 bill, but I know that there used to be a $1,000 bill. More to your point, Omega, I know the states used to have a $1,000 bill. I think, like, we're talking even before I was born, but they don't do it because of the smuggling.
Right.
Look, to be honest, if anywhere has a $1,000 bill, it would be Oprah.
Isn't that what she has in the bathrooms to the toilet paper?
Probably. Yeah, but anyway, somebody else will win.
There you go. Yeah, and speaking about wins, just throwing it at you, let's face it, this is kind of intriguing that you would pick this, because we have collectively as a group been down on Cena, and we collectively as a group have been down on Rusev. And now you're praising them both because of the program. It's just ironic.
Well, that's because it's the complete opposite of what we're used to with Cena. It's not Cena playing, I am the underdog, but I will overcome the big, bad, evil man that's standing over there, and then Cena turns into Superman in the first match and absolutely squashes the guy.
Yeah.
The fact that they've gone out of their way to make Rusev look dominant before this, during this, and now after the initial match is what's selling the feud.
Absolutely.
They decided that Cena is no longer Superman and tried to make him human.
Now, are you going to be impressed or disappointed if Cena winds up beating him at WrestleMania?
No, I will not be disappointed, because after the match that they've had at Fastlane, if they can do something of that quality or better at WrestleMania and Rusev still loses, Rusev walks away looking like $1 million.
What if Rusev gets the win at WrestleMania?
Then he's walking away looking like $1 billion.
As opposed to half a billion.
At that point, I would support Rusev going after the world title.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we got Roman Reigns challenging for it. Why not? yeah, I know. I didn't mean to do that. I just, well, yeah, okay, I did. It was funny. Omega, what's your win for the week?
Let's go with the Bray promo. I'm a fan of when WrestleMania season comes around, if only because when the Undertaker stuff starts happening, there's a lot of old school promo work going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, there's a lot more gimmickry and flash to it. It is not just, oh, I don't like you and I want your belt. I'm going to hit you. You know, they don't do mind games the way they did in the 90s, but at the least they try.
Well, I have to agree with you that Bray Wyatt's promos leading into WrestleMania have been extremely entertaining. And, you know, I'm not afraid of you anymore. You know, come and find me, you know, basically calling out Undertaker.
That's what I like about this.
We still haven't seen or heard from Taker.
Well, he's...
The theatrics involved have been a lot better, too.
Mm-hmm. Theatrically, the promos, the cinematography of them, it's been really solid stuff, and the casket and the druids and the flames, all the old-school Undertaker stuff, that was fun to see. I love that he's taking a stance of come find me, where he's not, like... It was like so many years where it was just like the coveted thing to do at WrestleMania was take on The Undertaker and try to beat the streak. And now that the streak, you know, streak's over, okay, what do you got left? Well, now you've got someone who's, he is just straight up saying, look, I'm not going to go to you. I'm not going to beg you for a match. You have to come to me. Which there's such an arrogance to that. But it's not like a full of himself arrogance. It's I don't know. There actually is kind of a psychological edge to it, and it's something I haven't seen in a long time.
It's kind of like you sit back and you go, "Whoa, dude, you're calling out Undertaker," and the little Bray inside your head is, "So what? Brock Lesnar beat him. Who's to say I can't?"
I like the stance. I like the stance of, you know what. Every year is someone saying, look, I'm worthy of fighting you. I'm worthy of fighting you, so accept my challenge. Bray is just like, no, I want to see if you're worthy of fighting me.
Yeah. As opposed to everything we've seen in the past. No, you've got an excellent point. Yeah. And I can't disagree with the choice for the win this week.
Was I the only one who watched Fastlane and expected him to start playing the Rickroll music? like he was trolling something hardcore, so let's just go full out trolling this
and completely Rickroll everybody. That's so 2002. Shame on you.
More amusing than other shit.
I can't disagree, goddammit. All right. You know, my one for the week is wrestling related, but nothing happened in the ring. It was AJ actually tweeting to Stephanie McMahon and giving Stephanie McMahon shit. And it's just, I don't know, maybe she's been married to CM Punk long enough that he's rubbed off on her.
I'm sure he's rubbed a lot on her.
Yeah, you know, I was really not going to make the joke. I mean, I'm sure he's rubbed off in her. You know, I made the joke thanks to you, but I wasn't going to. I just want that clarified.
You're welcome.
Yep. People call me right. Never mind. Anyway.
I have to fucking be PG all week, okay? This is my one time where I just get to...
Let it all hang out.
I don't give a shit.
Here you go. Let it all hang out. That's why we're here. So you can let it all hang out. But yeah, it just, I don't know if that's reality meets storyline or if it's going to be incorporated or it's supposed to be incorporated into something when AJ comes back or what. But it basically intrigues me because I want to see now what is going to happen with the Divas division that, arguably, their top diva has basically called out Stephanie McMahon over, the lack of time that the divas are given. And when you stop and you look at it, you know, they're selling merchandise like crazy. They are money makers in the concession.
What was amusing to me was using her own hashtags to point out a little bit of hypocrisy. Because what was it like? What was the hashtag? Give women a chance.
Yeah, give Davis a chance.
Well, no, I know that one. That's been going around. But Stephanie put a hashtag up that was like pro. It was like some pro feminist hashtag. And then he turned, you know, AJ turned it around on her because, you know, the Divas got all of 30 seconds on TV.
You know what? I don't even know what the hashtag was.
I thought it just was a brilliant way. Because of the way she did it, there was no way that Steph could, like, lash back.
Yeah. I get what you're saying, yeah. Excuse me for a moment there, yeah. But, yeah, so that's
the hashtag, the other one was use your voice.
Oh, use your voice. There you go.
Okay.
Well, you know, she hashtag use your voice and AJ decided to take her up on it. So it's Stephanie's voice.
Yeah. And at this point, at this point, I'm sitting here waiting for Steph to use her voice to say, you're fired.
Like for real.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Apparently she just like blew the fuck up, but
yeah. Because, like, seriously, and I gotta get technical here, because you're in a work environment where you are a contracted employee. If you decide to turn around and call out your boss the way AJ did on a public social media website, yeah.
You're playing with fire.
Yeah, good chance you're not gonna have a job come Monday.
Don't play with me, because you're playing with fire.
So, you know, the whole thing of AJ saying, well, you know, how come we're making a fraction of what the men make, even though we sell merchandise? Yeah, that fraction is going to go to zero very quick if you don't shut your mouth.
Yeah, this is potentially true. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing if there is any fallout and if they turn it into a storyline. I'm thinking they'll, you know, if they were smart, they'd turn it into a storyline and pick up where when AJ was still somewhat new and she was all mouthy and then Steph basically put her in her place. Let's see them pick that up and run with it in relation to that. Anyway, what's your fail for the week?
If they want to do that, at least give me her one last high boss lady.
One more high boss lady. Okay, what's your fail for the week, mate?
Initially, I was going to go with the dress.
Oh, God.
Yeah, how low have we as a planet sunk when we are arguing over the colors of a fucking dress?
You know what's ironic? Because I asked Rock, what the fuck's going on with Twitter with the goddamn dress? He had no clue.
The other thing...
Oh, he was the luck hero of us.
Yeah, my Facebook feed and my Twitter feed blew up about this fucking dress.
Yeah.
And yet, I come home and I find out the two llamas had escaped and were running wild in, like, Arizona.
Yeah,
there's your fucking news story.
Yeah. Dude, this is the shocking thing, is, like, this was the day that, like, on the same day they passed regulations in the U.S. to protect net neutrality.
Yeah.
And what everyone was talking about was the color of a badly photographed dress. And I'm like, you know, you people don't deserve a free internet. You know?
You fuckers need
to be censored.
You know,
you've got llamas running around Arizona that gets delightfully recapped with the Benny Hill chase music. And people instead, we're talking about a badly photographed dress, a piece of fucking fabric. Really? Like Omega says, people don't deserve a free fucking thing.
If this is what you do with it, you don't deserve it.
Okay, initially you were going to go with a dress, but instead you decided to what?
I'm going to go with what I've called the gritted teeth promo.
Okay.
And this is where I'm going to start getting a little bit ranty.
Yay, Mace Rant, everybody!
All right, hang on. Got popcorn.
Let me go get my Jack Daniels.
Get that anyway, but I call this the gritted teeth promo because this was Daniel Bryan putting it over Roman Reigns after Fastlane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is one that you had to know backstage. He's sitting there practicing with it, teeth clenched, really forcing himself to say it. And it's this whole thing that has been shitting me up the wall lately that not, and I've seen that, we've seen it from Daniel Bryan. There was the one-on-one on SmackDown, and we saw it from Paul Heyman, of all people, verbally putting Roman Reigns over. Okay, look, I've made my peace with the fact that Roman Reigns is going to WrestleMania, but the one thing I have constantly said is make sure you make him physically dominant.
Yeah.
There's no point in having everybody turning around and going, Roman Reigns, you're the best. I reckon you could have beat Austin in 98 and The Rock in 99. Meanwhile, you know, in a couple of separate houses, Stephen Dwayne are calling each other going, well, who wants to call bullshit on this first? But, you know, to turn around and go, you know, Roman Reigns, you're the best. You're a real tough guy. You're this, you're that. You're the greatest thing under the sun. You're the walking god of today's wrestling world, blah, 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 blah. When he gets in the fucking ring and still can't get over on the Big Show, I have a hard time believing all the bullshit people are talking.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. They continuously have interviews and promos where people are praising the shit out of Roman Reigns, yet when he gets in the ring, he backs up jack shit of it. He needs to be hitting everybody like a Mack truck with wheels, like with legs. People need to be selling the Superman punch like a nuclear blast to the face.
Yeah, you know, Mace, you're absolutely correct on this, but at the same time, Roman Reigns is not completely to blame for this, and you know that. It's the booking.
I know. To be honest, look, here's the thing. I don't blame Roman Reigns himself. I blame creative. They don't have an idea of, let's have this guy run roughshod between Fastlane and WrestleMania, dominating the shit out of everybody he's going up against.
You can't look half-assed.
Going up against the gigantic brick mountain wall that is fucking Brock Lesnar.
No.
Because how are we supposed to buy that Roman Reigns can beat Brock Lesnar when Roman Reigns can't even beat Daniel Bryan properly? Or when he's a part of a six-man tag where Randy Orton is the focus?
Yeah.
Now, you know, this is a guy who's meant to be the co-competitor in the main event of Wrestle Fucking Mania, and I can't buy it for 3 seconds because all I've got is some people going, Roman, you're great.
Mm-hmm. You can't buy it because they're on top of that. You got to buy it because you've got to be made to believe that he can do it. And
exactly.
Yeah, I wasn't calling you out on that when I brought that up, that it wasn't his doing. It's like, yeah, no, I'm in total agreement with you. But, you know, the problem is people who are down on Roman Reigns, for the most part, don't really understand that he's, you know, they're doing what they're told to do. And they're not being given the time or the ability to turn him into that juggernaut that can, if not beat Lesnar, at least hold his own and go toe-to-toe with him.
Yeah, but the thing is, you still have 28 days till WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So you've got, what, eight main shows that you have between now and then to get this guy over.
Absolutely.
If you can't do it in that amount of time, then he shouldn't have been put in that position in the first place.
Yeah. No kidding at all. And the fault, my dear Bruce, lies not in the stars, but in ourselves, to bastardize Julius Caesar, written by William Shakespeare. I'm blaming creative 100% completely over the fact that people can't accept Roman Reigns. And I'm on the same page as you. I'm having a hard time believing, you know, like intellectually and behind the curtain and everything, I understand what they're doing and all this other stuff. That still doesn't mean that they don't need to make him look like, you know, the monster's monster. I mean,
yeah, the old adage is a picture is worth a thousand words.
Yeah.
give me the pictures to support your words.
Yep.
Yeah. And this
and
is the thing.
Are they blue or black or white?
Here's a funny thing. I would actually go white and black just to fuck everybody over. But
I was saying purple.
You know, I get into an argument almost every single Monday for the last few weeks with the same people about Roman Reigns. They're going, he is great. He deserves all this and that. Now I'm like, okay, sure. He might deserve all this. I'm not saying he does, but that's my own personal opinion.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I'm saying I want to buy the hype. But the thing is, turning there and saying Roman Reigns is the best thing on the planet isn't going to convince me to buy the hype. You say Roman Reigns is a walking tank? Fine. Show me blowing shit up and I'll fucking believe it.
Yeah, it's time now to walk the talk, creative. And starting tomorrow night, you've got to make Roman Reigns look like a totally believable, unstoppable juggernaut if you want.
He's got to be a male Ronda Rousey.
There you go. There you go. If you want people to believe in your guy, you got to make him look unbeatable at this point in time. Totally agree with you on that one. Omega, you got a fail for the week?
I usually have a fail for the week now, don't I?
Usually you do.
Usually I do.
You do.
I'm going to go with, let's see, can I boil it down? No, I can't. All of Randy Orton.
Really? You're kidding.
Really?
Well, all I have to say to that is,
do we start with his thing where he walks out and say, I don't want to do a 20-minute promo or segment to bore the crap out of you, and then does a 15-minute segment that bores the crap out of us?
There's 15 minutes instead, and it achieves the same effect with less effort, which is what Randy Orton's always been about, you know? The least amount of work possible.
I don't like that they spent 2 months building all this tension between him and Rollins. Rollins puts him out for 4 months.
Yep.
And then we actually go through Monday Night Raw, and they're supposed to make me think, oh, everything's fine. And Randy Orton really does want to give this one more chance. Like, really? The guy who... How many times has he knocked out Cena's father just to spite him?
Yeah.
I believe 4.
Yeah.
And counting. Yeah, and counting.
He's not a nice second chance guy. He's not like a bygones be bygones type person. He is cross me and I will fucking end you. Like, this is the Orton that RKO'd Stephanie.
Yeah.
Like, the whole point of him, Apex Predator, is supposed to be ruthless, and all of a sudden they've got... It would be one thing if they get to the match at the end, and it's just him getting close to Rollins to get in an easy attack on him.
On Monday night, to have the thing start and finish on the same day.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the same program.
But the way they booked it, two things were obvious. Number one, they backpedaled just to remind people of what happened 4 months ago.
Yep.
WWE writers, okay, our people, our fans have the memory of goldfish. Let's do like a 2 weeks to consolidate down like what we spent 2 months building up before. Mm-hmm. Just to remind them. You know, this is what happened. This is what it is. And it comes across as Randy Orton being out of character. And then the ending, this other thing it made obvious, was in any other well-booked or well-written segment, that would have ended with him snapping on Rollins and giving us like this exciting finale to Raw. And instead, Raw just kind of stops because we've got this like birthday thing on the network we want to plug. Mm-hmm. So God forbid we end it on an exciting note. No, we just have to kind of have it peter off so we can get in a plug for the network.
that you're already subscribed to if you're watching it. Type of thing.
So now, here's the thing with the Randy Orton stuff. I find this to be sort of like, what's the best form of torture to somebody that you know is expecting you to kick the crap out of them?
Not to kick the crap out of them.
Exactly.
When he's expecting it.
Be nice to them. Be friendly with them. Wait, give them reason to think that there's hope.
Hang out with
them. Then you
compliment him. Put your arm around him in a non-threatening way.
Exactly. And then at the last minute when the guard drops, you pull the knife out and shank the bitch.
Yeah, the second he thinks, oh, he is on the level. Oh, my God, there's a knife in my eye.
That's what I reckon Orton's, that's how I reckon they're going to play Orton off with this one.
Well, probably, but they could have done that and then have the knife initially come out right at the end, like Omega says. And
But he's been back a whole 24 hours, though.
Yeah, the whole Randy Orton thing is, that's my fail, too. Basically, the ending to Raw where, you know, okay, he's rejoined the authority and they're getting along, he's getting along with Rollins. It just doesn't work. It just, you know, it's the type of writing that you know pisses me off. And it's lazy. It's not creative. It's pseudo-creative.
See, this is where I differ, though. I see it as a great psychological torture to Rollins.
But they're not playing it that way. They were playing them on edge the entire show.
Yeah, and eventually you're going to have Rollins sitting there going, holding the gun to his own head, going, shoot me, shoot me, shoot me.
But by the end of it, Randy was just fed up and stormed off.
By the end of Raw, Randy picked up Rollins, patted him on the shoulder, and walked away. Like, you know, the good teammate.
I just don't see what they're doing here.
But they could have used vignettes all last Monday night to set up the main event. And the thing that's missing is that feeling of tension. That thought of, well, is he going to snap or isn't he going to snap? Because you never got that the entire program. You never got that feeling. You never got that sense. Oh, he's like, any time now, going to turn. And then, fine, okay, you get the feeling he's going to turn, but he doesn't. I could have put up with that. Or you get the feeling he's not going to turn and he's rejoined the team, and then he RKOs Seth right out of the blue. And then, oh, okay, but now we've got...
That's what everybody was expecting, though.
Yeah,
Everybody was expecting Orton at the last second to turn around and go, Seth's dead now, bye.
Yeah, you didn't miss what I said before that, right? There wasn't that feeling of menace and possibility, and it's going to happen, but then it doesn't. I could have accepted that. There wasn't that sense of menace, that sense of foreboding, that sense of maybe he's not really with us. Maybe he's going to turn. I just didn't...
Come across from the people in the ring, but the crowd was basically sitting there going, count down till Orton hits the RKO and turns on them in 5, 4... Yeah, that's the thing. The crowd had the expectation, and one of the best things you can do to a wrestling crowd or any entertainment crowd is make them have to tune in next week.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's what it is. It's we know it's coming. Mm-hmm. We know that there's probably like a 99% chance we're going to have Orton and Rollins at WrestleMania, so which is going to mean we're going to have Orton drop Rollins in the middle of the ring with an RKO at some point.
Some point in time.
At this point, it's now. Yeah. We are sitting there on the edge of the seat waiting for it. Mm-hmm. And instead of getting what we want straight out the gate, which we've been given every other time, this time the company's going, we're going to hold that till next week. Or we're going to do it down the track. And it's only making people more agitated because they're used to getting it straight away. Instead of having to wait for it, which they're doing now, which is just going to make it so much sweeter when it happens.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. And, you know, I'm not disagreeing with the concept of what you're saying. I'm just saying that I didn't feel that build-up to be you know, like, oh, come on, why didn't you do it? I didn't have that. I'm like, oh, geez, you know, that was kind of like, you know, so it wasn't even the promise. It wasn't even the, it was the lack of an expectation of a promise of something that they're not doing yet. Do you understand? You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm explaining.
Yeah, I'm getting what you mean, but at the same time, yeah. It's like, why do they need to create it when it's already sitting there in the first place?
Yeah.
The expectation is already embedded in the crowd the second Randy Orton returned.
I just didn't feel the retention of the tension once he went back and used in the back room and with the rest of the authority and stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe you
might get that. You might get that tomorrow night. You might get that, you know, a week down the track, 2 weeks down the track.
You never know. I'm not expecting them to pull the trigger immediately. And waste the, what do we got, 4, 5 weeks now before Mania?
28 days, so yeah, 4 weeks.
Yeah, okay, so 4 weeks as of now, 5 weeks as of last Monday. I'm not expecting them to pull the trigger immediately. I don't want to come across giving people that idea. I want to watch this and be made to feel the tension. Like they do with so many other, it's just, I don't know what it is. Maybe they just don't have that chemistry with each other, for me, that Rusev and Cena are having for you. Or Bray Wyatt and Taker are having for Omega. Maybe it's just, you know, not everybody liked the Avengers. You know?
Yeah, and those people are wrong.
Maybe you've just outgrown wrestling, Tim.
Oh, no.
You're too adult for wrestling now.
That's not it, and how dare you call me a grown-up. Listen, growing old is mandatory, growing up's optional, bitch.
True. Can we at least agree on the universal fail, which is anything to do with Seth Rollins and Jon Stewart?
No, I'm actually kind of digging this, kind of.
I have not
really, because after hearing Jon Stewart trying to cut a promo like he was a 1980s version of a
that
bad...
Was he was completely self-aware of it.
Well, yeah, no, he did a parody of himself doing it is what it was. But when I saw him doing the promo, I'm thinking, where the fuck's Mickey Rourke when we need him?
Yeah, but you got to the first thing you got to remember, Jon Stewart's a huge wrestling fan to begin with.
Yes, this is true.
You know, like, this is a guy who started his show one night complaining about the Undertaker's streak ending.
Yeah. No, he's a bigger mark than most of the internet wrestling community is. Well, than some of the internet wrestling community.
And mind you, I will give Jon Stewart, as much as I hated his first promo, the follow-up with the Moment of Zen sketch, oh, brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was hilarious.
That was, that was the promo where he looks over and he's, like, talking to an invisible person about, and you know, like, questioning his promo.
No,
that was Rollins showing up on the Daily Show.
Oh, okay, yeah, I didn't see Rollins on the Daily Show.
They did this whole, like, Seth Rollins breaks into the video feed of the Moment of Zen.
Okay.
Starts having a go at Jon Stewart, and Jon starts going rant crazy at him, and you just see Rollins walk in the background and stand behind him.
Okay.
It was the old classic, he's standing behind me, isn't he?
Hold on.
Uh-oh. Oh, you've got it. Nice.
Here it is, your Moment of Zen.
Officials in India want to set the record straight.
Stewart! Hey, Stewart, look, I've heard every single thing that you've been saying about me. I hope, my friend, that you are prepared for a world of hurt.
WWE superstar and poster boy for the Authority, Seth Rollins? How did you interrupt my Moment of Zen?
Oh,
how?
please, Stewart. You know me better than that. I can do anything I want. I am all powerful.
Oh, settle down, Obi-Wan. You're not all powerful. Mind your manners. You know, I've got a little wrestling in my background as well. I've got a little wrestling. I'll put you in a half, Nelson. Maybe a little jiggy jab.
That's Seth stepping into the frame of the live shot, by the way.
Behind him. He's right behind me, isn't he? Is he right behind me?
He's right behind me, isn't he?
Why don't you shut your mouth and bring it, pal, huh?
Let me just say this. A little beard conditioner would go a long way towards me. And let me tell you this, Rollins, I will bring it. Although, unfortunately, I don't have it with me right now. So I will perhaps look for it and meet you somewhere at a later date, like a gentleman.
Well, you know what?
What?
It's funny you would mention that because
really?
I actually came here to give you an invitation.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How about you show up this Monday night on Monday Night Raw Newark at the Prudential Center. You got the guts, Stuart.
I have more than the... Oh, Jesus. I think I just pulled something when I turned on there. But I do have the guts. And I... Oh, you're taller than I thought on that. On the television, it looks like he's... All right. Well, Seth Rollins, everybody. We'll be back next week unless I get crushed on the...
Yeah, there at the end. That's John jumping on Seth's back.
Okay. So we're going to actually have Jon Stewart on the on Raw tomorrow night?
Yeah, they just confirmed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So, well, that's our win and fail for this week. We've gone on for a long time. This is the longest discussion we've had.
And I just got a new win for this week, but that's okay.
In a long
I got a reply from Lana.
Long time. What?
Ooh.
Oh, that's your new win? What did you send to Lana first?
Did she like the fanfic?
I just happened to jump on Twitter before the show, and I noticed that the number one trend worldwide was hashtag Ask Lana.
Uh-huh.
So I put out this thing saying, I see hashtag Ask Lana trending, and I instantly thought at Lana WWE because she's the only Lana that matters here. So basically she's just quoted it and put on the end, obviously.
Awesome. All right, that being said, we are going to take our first time out of the evening, everybody. You'll listen to WTR Night, Russ Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Whatever you do, don't go anywhere. We got a lot more coming your way right after this.
And I think it's going to be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh,
that was
just recently.
It was this past Sunday, I said. A plug into a segue.
Hey, wait, give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute, I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, now.
Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait. That's all.
Los Matadores versus the Real American. You all
I'm
pick...
I'm going with that. Never mind, sorry.
You're...
We're not making it. I seen him too in action, and I was, like, all excited. Oh, that's so funny. Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
as luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see if I seen them face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good. I would have picked them if I had seen them. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Free Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Free Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Free Bella lost the match, but Ace and Rob picked three, so you picked AJ Lee.
Oh my god! You did some work it out!
I believe you changed to Cancer Rock.
Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you,
I told you, I'm my own worst enemy.
He's coming, just like. Bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost! Jones! Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down his assaulting Ambrose! After he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Yeah. And welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right from Wild Talk Radio Network. The volume that the producer is pumping the music and stuff up now is really up high, because he turned it up so he could listen to the Jon Stewart quote and clip and never turned it down again. Just saying. Anyway, before we get back into our wrestling talk, we're going to touch on this one a little bit. Sad news in the world of science fiction this past week. Leonard Nimoy passing away on Friday at the age of 83, guys.
Yeah, this is one of those ones where it was like you could see it coming, but it still doesn't take away from the impact of what happened. I think it was, last Monday he was in hospital with chest issues. And I remember I mentioned to Omega on Skype that's what happened. His first words were, oh no. And we both were pretty much thinking, well, shit, countdown clock.
Yeah, because I knew he had health problems. Last few conventions he was seen at, he had an oxygen tank with him.
Yep. Well, how many conventions did he have the tank with him? Like how long?
He didn't take many in the last year because his health has been deteriorating.
Yeah, it basically started going downhill right after Star Trek Into Darkness, where he did that quick little cameo there. But the entire world kind of sort of like paused and went, "Aw, damn," when it happens.
Just to be honest, the guy has had a profound impact on science in general. You know, how many people wanted to be astronauts because of the work that Leonard Nimoy and everyone else has done on Star Trek over the years?
And, I was thinking about it and, I was watching actually The Big Bang Theory. And it was the rerun where he got Spock's DNA on the napkin.
I still remember the toy, the Spock toy that he got that kept torturing him.
Or, oh no, they sent the wrong Spock. I'm sorry, Zachary Quinn, to live long and prosper somewhere else.
So it's bad enough. Like on the Big Bang Theory, you know, they had to change things up very quickly because the actress who was the voice of Howard's mother passed away, and that's been the big thing for the last two episodes.
Yep.
And that was handled really classy.
They did.
I'm now wondering if they are going to try and like throw together something. If they haven't already, for Leonard Nimoy?
Well, they would probably have had to do reshoots. Like this, by this point in the year. If they were doing anything for Leonard Nimoy, it would be like filming a special episode or something like that, because I think that they're all done taping for the season by now. But, I wouldn't be surprised if they actually did. Because they did do some reshoots when Howard's mother died, so even though they were still filming though, but my whole thing, like just watching that, thinking, you know, thanks to Leonard Nimoy as Spock in Star Trek, I've got to pin that basically as the genesis, if you'll pardon the use of the word. Bad pun intended in the whole bit, but Mr. Spock was basically the genesis for geeks and nerds taking over the Earth in the 21st century. He was the the forerunner.
Yeah, I wish I'd saved this photo because it was like it's sad as hell, but it sort of really encapsulates everything that's happened for Star Trek fandom. It was a two shot photo. The top shot had Kirk, Spock, McCoy, and Scotty gathered around a table laughing. The next shot underneath it was just Kirk on his own.
Because basically that's all that's left of the main four, you know.
Yeah. Like, it's going to be interesting to see because we got George Takei, Walter Koenig, and Michelle Nichols coming down to Australia next month. So it's going to be interesting to sort of see how they take, because Australian fans are going to be sort of every second person will be saying, you know, sorry about the loss of Leonard Nimoy.
Every second one? I think every single one that walks up to the microphone to talk to the guys and gals.
Yeah, probably.
He's probably going to say something. And you stop and you think about it. Just this is, I think this is just proof of this, how pervasive the characters of Star Trek wound up becoming in modern society, in our pop culture.
Well, it goes to show that the widespread of Star Trek, even those who are not fans of Star Trek, like I'm not a fan of Star Trek, yet, you know, I still took the moment when it happened to sort of reflect on what the guy did in that series, in the movies, as well as, you know, the stuff that I know him in, and also
Galvatron.
What I make him, you know, the Galvatron, most definitely. You know, God, the amount of times I probably watched that Ballad of Bilbo Baggins clip.
Oh, my God.
Oh, where he's dressed up like Spock and singing Bilbo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best one I found out of all that was somebody actually put in the Gandalf from the current movies when they go into the thing of, you know, Bilbo, Baggins! And then you've got Gandalf yelling back at him about 4,000 times.
Okay, that would have been cute. That would have been
cute. Yeah.
If you want some real, like, classic Leonard Nimoy, go on YouTube and look up the things he did with John DeLancey. Because it's a stage performance of Spock meeting Q.
Really?
Really. And they did two of them. And they're hysterical.
Well, it's ironic that I did not know about this, but now that you've pointed it out, you know I'm going to be searching it out.
Do it. But they are both on point. They're both so into character, and you can tell they're having fun doing it.
Damn. Just damn.
So the one thing I've yet to do, and I'll probably do it tonight if I can track it down, there's got to be an Inside the Actors studio with him. there's got to be. The guy has such poise and such a commanding presence that you know that an interview with Leonard Nimoy is going to be extremely interesting in multiple aspects of theater, because not only was he an actor, he was a director, he was a writer, he was an artist. Man was an all-around threat. Like, he was, you know, he did just about everything he could.
Yeah.
And, it's just sad that, you know, sure, age of 89, but... 83, sorry. He was one of those guys that you reckon would have lived forever.
Well, you know, he's Mr. Spock. Vulcans live to be 220, 240 years old on average. You don't expect Mr. Spock to die. You know, so
well, he did once, and then they put his casket on the Genesis planet, and he became a new Spock.
Well, yeah, it was like, where's Genesis when you need it, right? Paging Dr. Carol Marcus. You know.
Well, you know, he's remembered for the line, "The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one."
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, there was the many asking him to come back that day.
Yeah. It's a very, very sad thing, and it's, I think, a very, very big loss. But, you know, it's the circle of life, to borrow from The Lion King, I guess. Really. And ashes to ashes and dust to dust and all that stuff. And all I can say is thank you very much to Leonard Nimoy for absolutely everything that he did in his life and career to entertain his fans. And, predominantly, first and foremost, Mr. Spock, but also directing what wound up being the highest grossing comedy for the longest time. A lot of people don't realize Leonard Nimoy directed Three Men and a Baby.
That I did know. But for a second there, I thought you were going to pull out one of the Star Trek movies that he directed as calling it an all-time comedy.
Well, it's an all-time comedy for Star Trek.
No, one Shatner directed was an all-time comedy.
No, that was a tragedy. That was a modern tragedy. That was on like of Greek proportions right there.
What does God need with a starship anyway?
Yeah, no kidding. But of course Leonard Nimoy directed Star Trek III: The Search for Spock and Star Trek IV: The Voyage Home. And he also was heavily involved in scripting Star Trek IV: The Voyage Home. And the whole idea was, what can we do for our Save the Whales campaign that he was really heavily involved in the early mid-80s?
Star Trek IV.
I watch that all the time. So.
But
it's one of the two Star Trek movies I will always, no matter what happens, they're the two I end up seeing the most. Search for Spock and Star Trek IV. I have never been able to get through Wrath of Khan.
Really?
You're kidding.
I fall asleep halfway through, wake up in the middle of the credits.
Wow.
That's unbelievable. That has got to be, hands down, in my opinion, one of the all-time perfect movies.
Yeah, I know. And I want to sit through it because it is, from what I keep being told, the quintessential Star Trek movie, but I keep falling asleep in it.
That's weird. The female forced me to watch Into Darkness. I'm like, it's okay. It's no Wrath of Khan. So over Halloween, I forced her to watch Wrath of Khan. And she's not a big fan of the original series.
And what'd she say? It's no Into Darkness?
No, she was enthralled by this movie.
As she should be. All the even-numbered Star Treks are the better ones.
Like if you go
until you get to later numbers. And...
Yeah, well, we're talking so early. Like the involving the original
cast. The original cast, it was the all the even-numbered movies were good. All the odd-numbered movies were not so good. The best of the worst was Star Trek III: The Search for Spock. The worst of the worst was Star Trek V: The Final Frontier. The all-time worst Star Trek movie, followed up by Star Trek Nemesis as the second worst movie, which involved the Next Generation cast. Welcome to Otaku Talk Live.
Well, look. To be honest,
I figured somebody had to say it.
Here's the thing: like, I went back through, and it's like, when somebody dies, I try to find some of their best works.
Yeah.
So of course, I went back over some Star Treks that day. I grabbed the 1986 Transformers movie. Then it dawned on me there was something else I could have watched, but there's no way known I'm going to let that crap infest my Blu-ray player.
What's that?
Transformers: Dark of the Moon.
Oh, fuck off!
He was Sentinel Prime in Dark of the Moon.
He was Sentinel Prime in yep.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So he's the only man who has been in one of the best Transformers movies and one of the worst Transformers movies
in all of the five that have existed.
Yeah, he's the only reason to even turn on Dark of the Moon.
Yeah, you got the only both reason. Times playing a villain.
Yeah.
But you have to go back to his Galvatron to tie in why that was such a great thing for him to voice. What's his name?
The voice Galvatron. Yeah, mainly because he got to blow up Starscream and has the best line in the movie.
Mm-hmm. He has many of the best
bad
lines.
Bad comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just wanted to touch on it really quickly. Leonard Nimoy, because he was, he was Star Trek, especially after the passing of Gene Roddenberry in 1992. Leonard Nimoy, basically, for all intents and purposes, basically stepped into the role that Gene Roddenberry had created as creator of Star Trek. little bit of trivia. During the filming of Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, Kim Cattrall of Sex and the City fame, for all you female listeners who get all goofy over that stupid TV show, she played Lieutenant Valeris. During filming, she actually snuck onto the set of the Enterprise and had nude pictures of herself being taken. Leonard Nimoy walked onto the set, discovered this, totally destroyed all of the footage that had been taken of her, and informed her in no uncertain terms that the Bridge of the Enterprise and Star Trek is no place for that type of photography. He then went on to take very suggestive pictures of Kim Cattrall himself.
This man has a sense of humor.
Well, you know, he's protecting Star Trek, but at the same time, in his later life, that's what he focused on was photography, and he was damn good. And his, his main thing for photography was female nudes. And they were very classy and very well done, and it wasn't pornography or any of that other nonsense. It was very...
Are you sure? Because all artistic. I could think about that point would be he's just turning into a pervy old man.
Well, you would think that. And after marrying Michael Bay's cousin...
It's not like he was also a gynecologist on the side or anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's... That you know of. There you go. Yeah, so that's a totally...
How did he learn to do that Vulcan hand sign again?
You want the truth?
Just wait until you hear about the original Vulcan nerve pinch.
What?
They couldn't show that on network TV.
What was the original Vulcan nerve pinch? Anyway, yeah, rest in peace, Leonard Nimoy. The entire planet will miss you.
Is this where I say... Damn it, Rob!
Oh yes,
fuck Rob!
Yeah, this is a definite blame Rob moment.
this is blame Rob.
Rob
goes to the corner.
I let you have Robin Williams. This is too far.
And in honor.
Hashtag blame Rob.
Damn it, Rob!
I can't help it. I'm curious. How does Rob feel about all of this blame Rob shit on CB Radio?
It's a thing. He gets his list and just goes about his business.
Puts up with it. I see. It's like, yeah, whatever, guys. Shut up.
No, he sends me emails now of people who've died.
Oh, okay.
It's like, here's another blame
Rob. He has embraced his destiny.
He has.
I just need the black robe and the sickle.
That's all we need is Rob dressing up as Death for Halloween.
I just meant for work, but yeah.
Well, speaking of Death, somebody else's career has died recently.
That okay. Go ahead.
I tried to segue out of something.
Look,
we
have
Rey Mysterio now, okay?
Yeah, he did a really bad segue into talking about Rey Mysterio finally being done with WWE. We'll talk about that in a quick sec. I just want to say right now, before we get into it, I am quite positive there's at least one person trying to text me while we're doing the webcast, but my phone is dead, so, if you tried to text me and I haven't texted you back, well, now you know why. So, Rey Mysterio, is he done with the WWE?
So we had to use airtime to address that.
Yep.
Okay.
Because if I hadn't addressed it, then I would have heard about it.
So, yeah, Rey Mysterio is done with the WWE.
Does anybody care?
To be honest, not overly.
Like, what does, seriously, in the grand scheme of things, what does it matter?
This is
He hasn't been on TV in, like, how long?
A year. This has made Conan a very happy man. He now has his buddy out of WWE. He's excited. He's ready to do promotions with him.
Well, yeah, he wants to bring him into AAA Mexico.
And into Lucha Underground. He wants all that fun, happy stuff. Yeah. And if you're an indie promoter out there, you know, and, you know, say, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, if you have 20 grand, you can book Rey Mysterio for an appearance.
Yeah, which does seem like a lot, but keep in mind, he has to cover the cost of a knee surgery every time he shows up.
Well, yeah, I can guarantee you that no promoter in Calgary, Alberta, Canada is going to book Rey Mysterio at $2,000, never mind $20,000.
That's apparently his going rate at the moment.
I'm just telling you. And I would know. I should know. I do know.
You do know. I know you know. That's why I mentioned it.
Okay, just so long as you know.
I know.
I know you know.
But now they can stop using the hashtag Free Ray, and now he's all free and off to do his own little thing and wants to wrestle. And this was done on purpose to hold him out for as long as they did.
Do you know what makes me happiest about this?
What?
That
never having to hear about this again.
After tonight.
No more, like, oh, Rey Mysterio's holding out. No more WWE's extending contract. No more, I don't fucking care.
All right.
Yep.
Is he a Hall of Famer, though?
He's a Hall of Famer.
He's going to get put into the Hall of Fame probably next year or the year after.
They will give it a few years when he is not wrestling for anyone else. Which, given his injury rate, should be about, what?
Next year or the year after.
Thursday.
So, yeah. So in 2 years, he could be the guy, the main name. Unless they, come to a deal with Martha Hart and induct him.
See, like, the best thing I've found out of all this, again, you're going to groups on Facebook. One of them decided to start a hashtag, sort of an internal hashtag in the group called Things Stronger Than Ray's Knees. Would you like to hear a couple of them?
Please. Limp spaghetti.
Please.
Limp spaghetti. Okay.
A pool noodle.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Storm's personality. The combined economy of Detroit and Russia. Vince Russo's credibility.
Oh, Vinny Roo.
A Stephen Hawking handshake.
Oh.
Too far.
Vince McMahon's quads. Kevin Nash's quads also.
Triple H's quads.
And Hogan's back.
Hogan's back.
What about Hogan's head?
Who knows?
But yeah, a Japanese table.
True. But yeah, that was the funniest thing to come out of all this, was just sort of people throwing these jokes out about Rey Mysterio's knees. Like, at one point, I think it was like Rey would have lasted longer if his biggest feuds weren't the wellness policy and injury report.
It must be like walking around with like bags of glass shards in your legs. Like, I can't imagine how screwed up those knees are at this point.
He doesn't have knees anymore. He went to Home Depot and bought door hinges.
Are you saying that because he's Mexican?
No, that was totally coincidental.
Racist fucker.
Shut up, there are no Mexicans in Canada, so it never entered my mind.
Send all hate mail to admin@wildtalkradio.com.
Hey, that's alright. When Rey Mysterio goes into the Hall of Fame, it's going to be Rey and his 15 cousins.
Well, you could say that about any of the Samoan wrestlers, too.
How hard, when Rey Mysterio is named for the Hall of Fame, how hard do you think Conan's going to lobby to join to get put in with him?
Nah, he won't.
Little joke, but that big. What's his legacy?
Just like Ray.
Seriously, what is his legacy? Is he going to be remembered for the smallest guy to win the world title?
See, to me, his legacy will be matches against the likes of Dean Malenko and Eddie Guerrero and Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Basically, most of his WCW feuds. Stuff against, La Parca, Juventud Guerrero.
I was about to say the ability to make Juventud Guerrero look good.
Yeah, and basically the WCW Cruiserweight division in general will be his legacy.
Yeah.
Because without Rey Mysterio, that division might not have taken off with the star power that it had.
Yeah. You know, let's face it, at its height, the Cruiserweight division was one of the main reasons to tune into WCW.
Oh, hell yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mexican jumping beans were always good.
So,
yeah. No, but I agree with that. His cruiserweight work is definitely his strongest suit.
Mm-hmm.
He had good matches in the WWE. They just never were that caliber, just because they slowed him down so much.
And his body just slowed him down.
Yeah, they're making him wrestle people that were, you know, that were difficult for him to wrestle with, just because they're so much bigger. You know.
See, here's the thing for me. To me, and this is just me personally, his WWE legacy is basically Rey Mysterio was the guy that capitalized on Eddie Guerrero's death.
Yeah.
Which is not something I really bring up in earnest. Because, frankly, if your legacy in a company is getting a push off your best friend's death, that's almost fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
We talked about it too. If anybody should have gotten any kind of a push at all after Eddie died, you would figure it would have been his nephew.
And yet, to be honest, it was his wife that got the biggest push of all.
Truth be told, ultimately you are correct, sir.
Yeah, Vicky Guerrero got one hell of a push.
So, almost a nightmare. Proof that you don't have to be able to act to get into wrestling.
True.
Oh, we've had a lot more proof than that.
So
the great Kali.
Yeah, okay.
Who so, just announced he's going to open a wrestling school.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, that was hilarious. I had to make sure it wasn't April 1st.
Yeah, was am I looking kayfabe news? Did I get the wrong website?
You got that off The Onion, didn't you? So, yeah, okay, we're all in agreement he's going to eventually be in the Hall of Fame no earlier than 2 years from now, right?
Yeah.
No. It'll be longer.
Depends on where he goes from here, who picks him up, and how long he's contracted for.
Sting and Undertaker. Well, number one, it ended. There was such hostility. I can't imagine him being forgiven that fast. Two, you're going to see Sting and Undertaker in the Hall of Fame first.
Oh yeah, Sting will go in the Hall of Fame next year.
Yeah, if it's not Sting, it's The Undertaker, and then whichever one it isn't is going to be the headliner the year after that. So it's going to be several years before Ray even gets considered.
So, fair enough. Speaking about the Hall of Fame, it's a tag team from Dan Under. And as Mace likes to say, proof that the WWE doesn't know fuck all between Australia and New Zealand.
Exactly.
The Bushwhackers. Couple of Kiwis. Now, okay, sure. They need to put filler material in there every Hall of Fame. Bushwhackers, good enough filler?
Well,
filler during their main run.
You've got to remember, you've also got a lot of people out there right now going, well, what about Demolition? Yeah, well, maybe if their retarded genetic offspring weren't currently wrestling in the WWE, you know, the Ascension.
The Ascension.
Then maybe they'd have a chance of getting in.
No.
See, personally, I don't mind the Bushwhackers going in. Sure, they weren't a great tag team, like they didn't have title belts under their run and all that type of shit.
But they were entertaining.
Yeah. They were a very entertaining tag team. I might have a little bit of bias because I ended up meeting Luke a couple of years back, just purely on accident, of all things.
Yeah.
And he's a really nice bloke, really got a good head for the business. And, yeah, look, to be honest, the Bushwhackers, they're entertaining, they're memorable. So why not put them into the Hall of Fame? I reckon, why not? To be honest, they deserve it more than fucking Rikishi does.
Well, they're all-star jobbers.
It is indeed very true.
Yeah. So,
but if we're putting people in for being jobbers, then, you know, Barry Horowitz should have been in by now.
Yeah, eventually. As Tim said, you know, even though he was joking, the fact that it still shows that Americans can't tell the difference between New Zealanders and Australians is really annoying to me.
You have to understand, it's easier for us to recognize a New Zealander if they have a sheep in front of them.
And yet, you want to know what one of the earlier team names of the Bushwhackers was?
Oh, what?
Sheep herders.
Exactly.
It was. They used that name on the indie circuit, the sheep herders. But weren't they being, you know, okay, so understandably they're New Zealanders, they're Kiwis, if you will. Weren't they built for most of their career as Australian tag team?
They have been billed as Australians quite often, but as the later run started coming in, the WWE run, they were billed from New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
It was just showing that eventually somebody on the staff turned around and said, you do realize that Australians and New Zealanders are not the same thing. They are not interchangeable.
They're two different countries.
Exactly.
They're not two different parts of the same country. They're two different countries. Being from a Commonwealth country myself, I know this shit. Listening to Butch and Luke talk, I know they're New Zealanders.
You know, which is kind of like going up. It's kind of like going up to a new wrestler and saying, "Okay, your gimmick is you really like hockey and maple syrup." Oh, so where am I being billed from? Texas.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that like going up to a Canadian and saying, "Hey, you're going to be a Italian"?
Oh, they actually did that though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mind you, you try and accuse Nick Ditti of being an Australian and see what happens.
Oh, he goes ballistic. I did that to him on purpose once when he was in the chat room. I called him an Aussie.
Exactly.
Don't you remember?
I don't remember much, but yeah.
Vaguely? Yeah, he tore a strip out of me and said some nasty things about Australia in the chat room. Just because I riled him up. That was fun. I don't even know if Nick remembers. Nick, you're in the chat room tonight. Do you remember that? Because I do. Some things I remember with absolute crystal clarity. That's one of them. Why do Australians get so ticked off when New Zealanders are called Australian?
Would you like to be mistaken for a bunch of sheep fuckers?
There you go. Now, how do New Zealanders feel about being accused of being sheep fuckers?
We don't, you know, I imagine it's like, we don't care Lord of the Rings is filmed here.
Yeah, piss off, assholes. We had Lord of the Rings, all five of them.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't hear you. Over the lavishness of the Shire.
Beautiful, some beautiful countryside, though.
That's cool. Hey,
shut up. We had Ghost Rider.
Do you really want that as your claim to fame? You know, you had Road Warrior, genius. You had Mad Max. You had to go after Ghost Rider? God. Talk about picking your battles.
You really? I did that on purpose.
If there is any culture out there or country
this
that we haven't...
my ass off.
There is any country or you know, community out there that we haven't offended tonight, please email.
Don't worry, we'll get to you.
Yeah.
Please email.
Which reminds me, fuck you, Gonda.
Please email admin@wildtalkradio.com, and then we'll happily do it on the air next week.
Wait a minute. Who's Ganda?
Anyway.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, ba-dum-bum. Well, you said, fuck you, Ganda. And I'm like, who's Ganda?
Don't explain the joke that bombed.
Well, you have to with a bomb. Just explain it. That being said, that's it. Okay, we're taking the time out, everybody. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk a little bit about Brock Lesnar. Of course, we got our odds and ends. I've got a little bit of clarification as far as Vince Russo situation goes, and I'm based on some reports that I was given today, going to make some allegations that I'm alleging allegedly happened. Of course, we've also got Quick Hits and the All-Time Greatest. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
As the editors, no need to abort. The countdown starts. Watching in a trance, the crew is certain, nothing left to chance. All is working, trying to relax. Up in the capsule, Tempe up a drink. Jokes, Major Tom. The count goes on. 4, 3, 2, 1.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply DaBomb.com.
Yo, I'm in 5 halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake. And you know what you're listening to? You're listening to Wild Talk. That's why they're trying to cage me.
Spaceman, oh spaceman, come rescue me.
And welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Talking professional wrestling on a Sunday night, because what the hell else are you going to do?
Well, we could always talk Ring of Honor. Oh, wait, some of us haven't seen it.
Spoiler alert. Can you do that?
Yeah, I heard that there was some sort of smelling on the show tonight.
Some what?
That was common knowledge, honestly.
Nasty. All right.
It's not a spoiler when they say he's going to be there.
It's not a spoiler if you knew it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Something to that effect.
Yeah. So what happened
on The Walking Dead?
Shut
up.
Okay, I won't tell you.
People died.
But it had to do with zombies and Rick.
Yeah, that's been a common theme.
And the clean-cut homosexual cannibal that was introduced in the last two episodes. Well, we don't know he's a cannibal. I mean, we're assuming. Because he's
one kiss between two men and the internet goes batshit insane. Like, what the hell?
It's the 21st century. Where were they getting all goofy? Because guys were kissing in a zombie TV show? What?
That's not even in our reality. That's the whole thing. The entire premise of The Walking Dead is not set in our reality.
No, I'll tell you one.
It is actually an alternate reality storyline, which is why they have no idea what the fuck a zombie is.
Yeah, they're called walkers, not zombies. You're absolutely correct on that one.
Who is buzzing?
What?
Someone had a buzzing noise in the background.
My mic's been on mute, not me.
I think it was Tim.
Tim has something buzzing in the background.
Who are you torturing over there, Tim?
That's my power grinder. No, that's my power grinder, and I'm not going to let you guys go there because that's just rude and crude, and we're all above that here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I thought you were just breaking another airplane.
No! I didn't break the last one. Fuck off.
Anyway.
I can't supply his yet. So. I'm actually...
Tim, I swear to God, leave the vibrator until after the show.
I'm actually doing some hobby work. I am with my power grinder that I bought at the Bianco Moore store, which just didn't help my cause any. But I'm actually carving out of wood the Starship Enterprise.
So anyway, Brock Lesnar walked out of Raw last Monday night.
Yeah, he was supposed to show up on Raw, beat on Raw, but he got all pissed. He took his ball and went home because they couldn't come to any kind of a contract agreement. And I said it like that because I'm just not really impressed with him walking out when he's supposed to appear.
Him and Vince got in a shouting match.
Gee, what a shock. You can't trust Brock Lesnar.
This is the thing, like, I don't really put all the blame on Brock, though. Sure, Brock could have been a little bit more professional and just, you know, okay, we'll do this at another time and walk out, which we all know is not Brock's particular, you know, method of doing shit.
Because he's a spoiled little brat, that's why. Anyway, go ahead, keep going.
Dude, if you were offered a limited time contract at $5 million a year, wouldn't you be wanting to try and keep that agreement?
He got the biggest contract in the history of the company, and he didn't want to keep it.
They're trying to do an extension of his contract so he's more dates and all this other stuff. They're not, you know, here's the thing. They're not trying to get him to show up for every goddamn house show, pay-per-view, or TV program. They just want more dates. They just want to extend the current contract.
And I understand that, and look, I don't blame them for trying it. More dates, maybe a little bit less money. That's understandable. That's business.
Well, you know,
but at the same time, when you have a contract which is big money, limited dates, and they suddenly say, "Hey, we want you to work more dates for less money," wouldn't you be a little bit pissed off?
Well, are they saying more dates, less money?
I didn't hear any report that said that.
No, that hasn't been said.
Yeah, no, it's not that
okay,
they're offering
things like
him...
Vince for 3 seconds, people.
No, what happened was it could have been supposedly they agreed on something. In the contract, it says something different. Because apparently that's happened a lot to people. You verbally agree to something, and they write it differently in said contract.
You know, bottom line is, in my purview, he should not have walked out. He should have shown up anyway. No. He doesn't do anything as it is. He just stands there and bounces around while Paul Heyman actually entertains us. You know, I didn't admit it
while
he's standing there.
When he's standing there bouncing around and doing nothing, ratings go up.
This is true. This is absolutely true. But I did not, you know, personally speaking, I did not miss him thanks to Paul Heyman.
Oh, Lesnar was clearly missed on Raw. Clearly. At least to me. You needed him on Raw Monday, but he chose not to do it. Or at least... That's the report.
Yeah, which, frankly, they could get him for breach of contract because he's scheduled to do that date. He was scheduled for that event, and he didn't show up.
And technically, mm-hmm. technically, we don't know if they agreed not to go for him to go on the show. We don't know if he just completely walked out.
For all we know, Vince could have told him to go fuck himself and get the fuck out of the building.
Well, Vince wouldn't do that when it comes to money while you're there. He'd do it
when
after.
When you're heated, like the report supposedly say, you don't know what the fuck you're saying.
Yeah, but this is the guy who paid off Warrior's demands just to make sure that he kept his dates. Above all, Vince is at least a decent enough businessman not to jeopardize his production or his long-term plans.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what kind of a hate-on Vince will have for you. If he can make money with you, he'll work with you.
Unless you're Macho Man.
Well, that's even cleared up now.
So. Oh, yeah, even that.
But it will all be interesting on March 9th, which is the next scheduled appearance for Brock Lesnar, if he's there. Because if he doesn't show up there, then you're in legal trouble. Because then he's breaching contract.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. Like, you can't really get him for a breach of contract for this past Monday, because technically he was there. He was in the building. Which means he at least showed up for work.
And they chose not to use him.
Yeah.
There was even a thing people overheard is the screaming. It's like, do we have to rewrite WrestleMania? And Vince was adamant, no, he's going to be there.
Yeah. If it comes out at any point that Brock is not going to show up for WrestleMania, there goes my interest in the company.
By the way, Brock Lesnar... Smartest man alive. Just pointing that out.
Oh, yeah. Popping up in a ridiculously bad suit at the UFC show.
He knows how to play the game. Just saying.
Well, I think that people around him know how to play the game and are instructing him in how to do so. Because Brock Lesnar on his own has never struck me as somebody who's, like, all too terribly bright.
Yeah. The last game he tried. Last game he tried to play, he got put on the practice team.
So, yeah. And he didn't want to do it, so he said, well, then I'm going to quit, because I'm not good enough, so blah. And face it, you weren't good enough to make the main team, so.
But yeah, that was a nice power play on his part, showing up at UFC last night.
I just wish whoever, you know, he's got Sable as his wife, for fuck's sake, even she could have picked out a better suit for him than that. That suit was just terrible. She must be bloody drunk.
Maybe it was intentional to show up in one of Vince's old bad suits.
Ooh. When Vince had that suit, it wasn't bad, though.
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay, you got me there. You know, we've gone back and forth on this, Mace. Brock Lesnar and limited dates and your champion not showing up for every pay-per-view and stuff like that. And it's always been my opinion that even if he's not going to wrestle on regular TV, you should make regular appearances with the title. The main reason why I can excuse Brock is because we've got Paul Heyman to do it. If we didn't, then there would definitely be no excuse for it.
Yeah, and then there comes the point where I disagree, where not having Lesnar there with the belt makes you want to see him more. which is what you want to do in wrestling. You want to, you're looking to sell the next big event. So you want to see Brock Lesnar. You have to pay to see Brock Lesnar.
And then the pay-per-view comes around and he's not on the card.
Then you know what? If he wasn't advertised for the pay-per-view to defend his title, oh well, you have the option to skip it.
Yeah, but at the same time, and you know, maybe
it makes your big events bigger by having the champion on them. Yeah. You know, you look at boxing; they don't defend the heavyweight championship every single show that they put on. UFC even doesn't have their champion going on every single main UFC show.
Yeah.
So when they do get on their show, guess what? Buy rates go up.
Yeah, well,
it's good marketing.
Yeah, okay, yes, but at the same time, you know, speaking from a promoter's perspective point of view, as far as storylines and stuff like that goes, you get this little thing that says, well, you know, it's an unwritten thing, and sometimes it is a written thing, where you have to defend your title at least once every month, you know, so.
Which is fine when you're running a company that does a show every month, and only one show every month. But when you have a company that is putting on four shows a week plus pay-per-view every month, you can sort of step back and go, well, we can use him once every 2 to 3 months. Mm-hmm. It gives other people a chance to shine. You know, that thing that we were complaining about when you had John Cena defending the belt on every single fucking pay-per-view.
Uh-huh.
You also need the contenders to, you know, fight Brock.
Yes, you get to build contenders, you get to build other characters, you get to build storylines that don't have to revolve around the heavyweight championship. Take a look, again, Cena versus Rusev, you actually have a decent storyline for the U.S. title for the first time in how many years?
Almost. Since Zack Ryder.
And that's fucking sad, to be honest. But that's the thing. Without your heavyweight champion being on every single Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-view every single week or every month, you have this ability to build the rest of the company up, which they really have been needing to do for years. And now they're getting the chance to do it.
Well, having a chance to do it and actually doing it are two different things.
Exactly. They haven't actually, you know, built up.
Well, they haven't actually done it, but they're starting at least. You know, you got Ambrose starting shit. You got fucking Roland starting shit. You know, you got the, as I hate to say it, the push of Roman Reins.
Wait,
you're starting
wait,
to
wait,
get
wait,
the...
Wait.
Shut up, Rock.
Don't make him choke on
Rock. No, wait. I mean, they're actually pushing Roman Reins? I'm waiting.
Oh, they're trying to against the backlash of vitriol from the fans, but
I'm waiting for him to beat somebody. Anyway,
so am I. But you know, but that's the thing. You know, they're getting chances to have other people be the main guy, and they're showing you don't need to have the belt to be the main guy, which is good.
And in 1 month's time, the belt will be defended every single month.
And then you're gonna see how batshit boring it's gonna get.
So, anyway, Tim.
Anyway, yeah. You know, it's every now and then, Mace and I have to agree to disagree on topics, which makes for, you know, interesting radio as we go along, and that's perfectly fun. I don't have a problem with it. Oh, one bit! This is one of those cases. I'm looking at it from, you've got all of this free TV, you can build up everybody else. But even if he doesn't wrestle on a pay-per-view, your title holder should be at the pay-per-view.
He should be there a little bit more often, even.
Yeah. I think,
you know, that's...
When we had the championship, like, it used to be like a point of power and authority in the company, where whoever held the belt kind of ran things. Mm-hmm. You know, Stone Cold had the belt, and, you know, Vince, even in his heyday, couldn't do anything about it. You know, he still had to go through the system in order to try to get that belt off of him. Hogan in WCW.
Well, that's all storyline, but if you go back further, you don't really have to go back too far, just mid-80s. The belt promised and guaranteed And this happened right up until the decade of the start of the 90s. You held the belt. You held the highest paycheck. You held the belt. You actually had sway over who you were going to drop it to and when. You know, like Bruno Sammartino, he was.
I'm not talking about paycheck. And I'm not talking about personal position. I am talking about how it looks to your product, to your audience.
Well, yeah, storyline.
The champion was the authority.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which I always prefer because it feels like the champion has more gravitas when it looks like he's in charge. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's hard to do. You know, Brock, very intimidating as a champion. There is something to be said about holding back your main attraction and only showing him once in a while. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like the championship has a presence. You know, there's a difference between giving people time away from the belt to build someone else and having the belt down there so often or so few times, I forget that it's even a thing.
Yeah, that's kind of like the point that I'm working at making, but thank you for actually using fewer words and making it clearer than I've been able to.
They could have used Paul Heyman more to, you know, as Omega said, you know, bring authority to the championship, had Heyman call some shots with Brock not around.
Heyman should be carrying that championship belt around. And anytime Brock shows up, just pass it off to him.
Or don't bother passing it off to him. Just let him walk out with the belt. But when Brock isn't making his appearances, have the belt on Heyman's shoulder.
That's what he
meant. Always on Heyman's shoulder because always. If he shows up without it, you know Brock's showing up.
Okay. Well, that... Okay, that...
Tim just defeated.
You just like... No, you... You kind of confused me there, because that sounds like what I was saying. It's like, keep it on Paul Heyman's shoulder, except for when Brock is there, and then let Brock walk out with the belt.
Well, if they're walking together, yeah, but most of the time, Heyman just comes out, and then Brock shows up like, oh, hey, look, he actually is here this time.
Okay, well, you know, I'm just thinking about them coming out at the same time when he shows up.
Well, yeah.
So.
just have Lesnar just pick the belt up off of Heyman's shoulder and put it on his and just walk to the ring.
I was just having a very, very mental, telepathic, wait, what moment with what you did. That's all.
But. Just like hand it off like a squire holding the sword out to the knight.
So if they can't get a deal done and he's done as of WrestleMania, are you guys going to miss him or what?
I'm very tempted. If Brock goes, there goes my interest. Mainly because I'm looking forward to seeing the internet wrestling community explode when Reigns gets the 1-2-3 over Brock Lesnar.
Well, no, I wasn't talking about him not showing up for WrestleMania. I'm talking about him not renewing the contract, extending his contract, and leaving after WrestleMania.
If that's what he wants to do, then so be it.
So wait,
here's the thing. We still have Heyman. Mm-hmm. Even without Brock. Then we get a chance of maybe renewing the Paul Heyman guys.
Hold on. Do we? Do we have Paul Heyman if Brock leaves?
Well, here's something that I was playing with. Now, just for shits and giggles, let's say the impossible happens and Roman Reigns beats Brock Lesnar and Brock, you know, leaves to go lick his wounds and we don't see him. What are the chances that all of a sudden Roman Reigns becomes the next Paul Heyman guy?
At which point I go and stick my head into the oven and set the fire on high.
Because you don't believe that'll happen or you don't like Reigns that much?
I don't want to see that happen.
Because
it would be a great thing, like he'd turn heel and has Heyman spooking him like he did the other week on Raw, which, you know, Heyman, being the used car salesman that he is, can do it extremely well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I really don't want the distinction going to Roman Reigns. At that point, it becomes really too try hard. We are trying to get you like him. He's The Rock's cousin. He's with Paul Heyman now. He's good, right? You're gonna cheer him now, right? Please like what we've done.
So you can't see him staying as the used car salesman and Roman Reigns still being pushed as a babyface.
The thing is, you put Heyman with Reigns, you better make sure you turn him heel.
No, honestly, I see a better position if Paul Heyman makes it a mission to take that belt back from Reigns. Like, I had this monster, I had everything, you took this away from me, and now I'm going to take it back.
So what does he do, back Randy Orton or Seth Rollins?
No, you can't back Orton. Orton has been a heel so damn long, he honestly needs a little face time. Yeah, he's going to be your main opponent for the Authority.
No, here's the thing. If you want to put him with anyone and you really want to push something that's going to fuck with people's heads...
Oh, no.
You know where he's going, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Say it, man. Say it.
Turn Brian. Turn Brian. Oh, put God. Brian with Heyman.
IWC would collectively implode.
Can I just point out that we all three were going there from the beginning of the program tonight?
Oh, I'm quite sure that one was on a big-ass neon sign. But look, let's be honest. Over the last few weeks, we are getting possible teasers of Brian getting a bit more selfish and getting a bit more self-involved, which could lead to a heel turn.
Yeah.
And if you want to go Omega's route that, you know, Reigns takes the belt off Lesnar, Lesnar leaves the company, Heyman needs somebody to take that belt back off of Reigns, who better to do it than Daniel Bryan?
Well, we got one of the better matches in a while between these two guys, like one of the better matches in WWE in a while, between these two guys at Fastlane. Who wouldn't want more of that?
Even the promoters and bookers would want more of that because it makes Reigns look good.
Exactly.
Daniel Bryan made Reigns look good.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the thing. You can use that to raise Reigns' credibility as a champion straight out the gate.
Now, you realize here, and I'm just stepping outside of this collective box and just pointing out, that this is probably what they're going to wind up doing after WrestleMania, but we're going to take credit for thinking of it first because we're the first ones to bring it up. I'm just letting you guys know that, you know, when this happens, you can look at us and say, hey, they called it.
Again, admin@wildtalkradio.com. Vince sent the checks.
Please mark your PayPal payments as sent to friends so we do not have to pay fees.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want to have to. Anyway, yeah. Let's face it, we come up with most of the good ideas we see on Raw or SmackDown like a month later. And if we don't, we still take credit for it.
In
the end, I really don't want to see Brock back. I hope they don't extend the contract, because what's the point of building up all these new stars if you don't eventually turn it back over to them?
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of with you on that.
And to be honest, we've reached the end of Brock's story. He's come in, he's beat CM Punk, he's beat John Cena, he's beat Triple H. He's beat The Undertaker and taken the streak at WrestleMania. He's got the belt. He started using Cena as a German suplex practice dummy. There's really nowhere else for him to go. He has reached his apex, and we might as well end the story here and start the chapter.
Yeah, pretty
with another character.
Pretty much. It's like
the Star Trek, the original series, handing it over to the new generation.
Ooh, well, yeah.
Which, for some reason, would probably make Lesnar Kirk and Roman Reigns Picard, which would be really weird.
That really doesn't work, dude.
Oh, no. Could you imagine Captain Kirk turning around and using, like, a guy the size of Brock Lesnar as a red shirt?
Yeah. That I could see. But that would
Hey, Brock, we're going to beam you down to this planet that's got this huge-ass rock monster. Brock smash. Brock smash.
Yes.
or we're gonna send you to this planet where you have to fight this green modern day Tyrannosaurus Rex.
The Gorn.
Modern day Tyrannosaurus Rex.
We expect you to die out there, Brock. No. It's just...
Why
Brock
just...
die? What?
God.
Brock smash!
He'd be the first ever returning redshirt. It'd fuck with all continuity.
Not true. He'd be the second returning redshirt. The most interesting man in the world actually had a turn as a redshirt on the original series, and he never died.
Once again, I didn't because I don't watch the original series.
Yeah, well, I'm a geeky for a Trek. You know that.
Yeah, he didn't know about Spock versus Q.
Yet I didn't know Spock and Q had a fight or whatever. They had a thing going on.
It's a verbal sparring match.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see that.
So can we do some debates now?
Why don't we get into the great debate? You want to get into the great debate?
Sure, let's go. Let's do that one.
Well, okay. How about the all-time greatest? You want to do the all-time greatest?
I thought you were going off on someone, Tim.
Well, yeah, I can. I could. I was planning actually on doing it after the all-time greatest, but I'll bring it up now. Fine. A lot of people know that Vince Russo literally walked away from his website and his blog last week.
He got locked out.
He got locked out by the webmaster, the person running it. His Twitter got password changed by the guy running the Twitter. Mace had absolutely no concern, care in the world about this until I told him what my connection to the webmaster for Vince Russo's site allegedly happens to be.
It is him.
It is for sure. It's confirmed?
It's confirmed.
Well, then I can mention his name and not worry about any repercussions.
But you could call him by what he used to call the, you know, to buy the
site.
Oh,
he's calling himself a dirty diva?
That's what he used to buy the site with. The name.
He bought the site under the name Dirty Diva. His real name is Chris Chisholm. Likes to call himself Chris Cash. Does some nasty business with a zone of wrestling on the internet. I'm not going to name the website. But, Chris and I have a history with each other. We started the Voice of Wrestling, the weekly Sunday night webcast about wrestling live.
What? Voice of the Wrestling
that
Live? Wow.
That was the thing, and it was a complete website all of its own, and it was called Voice of Wrestling, and everybody was doing podcasts, and they were all recorded and everything, and one of the biggest recorded podcasts initially recorded was Mace, you know this very well, Wrestling News Live.
Yes.
Yeah, we
helped them go live on a regular weekly basis. We would be on at 8:00 Eastern, and then they would come on at 10:00 Eastern, right after us. Huh. And it was 4 or 5 hours of wrestling talk, and it was, Sunday night was a lot of fun when both shows were going. But Chris Chisholm
best
and I...
best 4 to 5 hours I ever spent sitting there mm-hmm. going, I'm listening to shit.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the only way I know Chris Cash's name is because I remember the story of Trey stealing his belt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he and I had a bit of a falling out. He did some nasty stuff on a live Sunday night show. And we did an interview. And, of course, I was involved with Hybrid Wrestling Coalition here in Calgary at the time. And had one of the characters had become a regular on the show. And that would be Dr. William Maybrick. Ring a bell, anybody?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He was introduced to the internet wrestling community on Voice of Wrestling. Well, we collectively decided, him and me, and I have to also include a certain guy who likes to call him, who used to call himself JJ Sexy, came aboard Voice of Wrestling as a correspondent. Chris Chisholm did some I can't even remember what it was, but it was really fucking stupid and insulting and rude, and we all just collectively said, fuck you, right in the middle of the show, and basically walked out on him. 2 months later, WrestleTalk Radio was born. With your hosts, the original triple threat of the internet, Tim Stein, J.J. Sexy, and Dr. William Abrick. But Chris has been a slimy boss. Yeah. What's that?
He said, now you have us.
Now I've got you guys, yeah. But Chris Chisholm has always been a slimy bastard. I mean, when I was involved with a website, I remember him changing servers a minimum 2 times because he wasn't paying for it. He would sign up to use a server, we'd get a month out of it, and then he'd say, well, fuck this, I'm not going to pay you, and then he'd go somewhere else. And I don't know how long I was there. This was back in 2002, 2003. And, yeah, you know, like, screw that bullshit, and we took off on him. But he's always been a little bit iffy. And I have heard reports that I haven't been able to substantiate one way or the other, and quite frankly, I haven't cared. People such as him have impugned my character for well over 10 years, and I'm still around. And they can say what they want. People can think what they want about me. I don't give a damn because I know who I am, and people who are currently surrounding me know who I really am, as opposed to the rumors and assorted other things. But what was the story? He walked away from his website and the podcast and the blog, and he got locked out of it like right immediately after all of these subscriptions came up for renewal, and the webmaster took all of this money?
Supposedly the money is sitting in a PayPal account. The webmaster locked Vince Russo out of his website and his Twitter account on Friday night, Saturday morning, something like that.
Friday night, Saturday morning, yeah.
Yeah. So, and he had a suspicion this was going to happen after he got an email from the webmaster on Wednesday and yada, yada, yada. And I have a different theory than Tim, but yeah. Vince Russo is to blame in some of this, and I have a feeling there's a bigger story that's going to come out about it. But what Tim's been saying about the Chisholm dude?
Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, personal experience tells me that this guy, in my opinion, let me say this for legal reasons, in my opinion, is a slimy piece of shit, okay? End of rant, or story, or Uncle Tim's story time, as Mays called it.
Because Vince Russo is planning a bigger, better website at some point, conveniently for the brand.
Interesting, huh?
Conveniently. He got his mailing list, conveniently.
Well, if he was smart enough, like I was smart enough to grab files from a place that screwed me over before they had a chance to screw me over, you know what I'm talking about, Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then he's an innocent victim in most of this. However, if he's part of this, then he deserves to burn just like the, you know, the webmaster.
I still say they're all scamming people out of their money. Anyway.
So that being said, let's move on.
Now we will move on to the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
You can follow along with the all-time greatest now at WrestleTalkRadio.com. The brackets are up, finally, on WrestleTalkRadio.com.
They are, too.
They are. As we close out round number one, it's the RKO taking on the moss-covered, three-handled family gridanza. Omega.
This is a tough one. You got the RKO, okay. big deal. It's an ace crusher, which was perfected with the diamond cutter, and Randy Orton has done nothing to up the game preceding that. But it's still an effective move. It can still be hit very quickly. Done right, it looks good. So it's got its merits. Moss Cover 3 handled Family Credenzel. You know, it's such a unique hold. Like how he manages to grapevine the arms and the legs at the same time. I don't know how, but it does take three arms to apply correctly, and yet somehow it's done. I don't know how. I do find it strange that it's a hold that can only be used while wearing a jockstrap, but you know what? I've never seen it fail to make someone tap out. That said, I'm more a fan of the RKO.
I give you so much props for that response. Thank you. Maze.
Question.
Yes.
Did the diamond cutter make it through? Well,
going back.
Don't answer that.
No. Rock. Did, yes or no?
I'm scrolling up on WrestleTalkRadio.com.
Yeah,
to find
if you go
out.
To WrestleTalkRadio.com, you can see it for yourself.
No, the diamond cutter did not move on.
I mean, don't answer that until he gives you his answer.
No, because that actually would have played into the. No, I'm still going to go.
I knew what you were doing.
I'm still going the three-toed sloth, moss covered potato peel, or whatever the fuck that thing was. And the thing is, well, like, when I think of the move, I think of Perry Saturn's version, which was basically the rotating fisherman's DDT.
Alright, Tim, can you break the tie?
No, I can't. I've got to pick them both.
You can't.
What the fuck is the Credenza?
I explained the move to you.
Yeah, I was busy playing video games.
Okay, look.
The opponent's
on the ground, and okay, popularized by Chris Jericho. His opponent's on the ground. Jericho stands over him, grapevines both arms with two of his arms, and grapevines the leg with his one leg and a third arm. Okay, then there's a jock strap that comes up and over the face to pull the head back. So everything's getting wrenched back at the same time.
I actually made you explain the damn thing again. That's why I'm laughing my head off.
All right, this is
I'm going with the RKO.
up next.
Oh, God, even May sent me a link to it.
Up next, the
shocked I had a response, fucker.
Swanton Bomb, Tombstone Piledriver, Maze.
Tombstone.
Any reason why?
Because Tombstone.
Okay.
It's the one that can possibly kill you and embed you 4 foot below the ring.
Yeah, but keep in mind the guy who's delivering the Swanton.
Yeah, so he implodes himself through the canvas. There's a difference.
Omega, give us a complete, you know, detailed explanation.
A complete detailed explanation.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the Undertaker scoops you up face-to-face, teabags you while standing up, and then spikes your head into the fucking ground. Jeff Hardy gets on the top rope, does a pretty flippy, barely hits his opponent. And does more damage to his own lower back than actually, you know, damage to the guy he's supposed to be wrestling.
So, flippy or teabag?
Teabag.
Damn.
Tombstone.
Any reason why?
Because Jeff Hardy.
Because Jeff Hardy. Okay. So there you go. The round one is finally complete after 6 months.
It only took 6 months?
Only took 6 months to get the record.
Can we point out that,
a new record.
We actually did skip several different, shows.
Yes.
Just because of time and it was pay-per-views and shit.
It would have, you know, been done in like 3 months. If we actually did it in proper fashion. Anyway, next week.
Oh, come on. It wouldn't have been done in 3 months. Not that quick.
How many shows we skipped? Yeah. Anyway, next week on the show will be the Pedigree versus the Chokeslam and the Stunner versus Sweet Chin Music.
The Pedigree. Can anybody explain that to me in detail?
Tune in next week. He'll do it for you.
Tomorrow, Battles of the 1990s finishes.
You're like, shut up, Tim. Suppose you want to get into quick hits now, don't you?
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Tim, how long could you last with Ronda Rousey?
Oh, God. Oh, wait, you mean like in the ring?
In the ring, yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, probably less time than that bitch she beat last night.
Give me a number.
12 seconds.
Maze, how long could you last in the ring with Ronda Rousey?
In the ring? I'd probably go a good 30 seconds.
Omega, how long could you last with Ronda Rousey?
Six.
No,
ten,
we're ten, not.
Ten,
we're not talking
if I
about
slipped
sex.
My own feces on the way out.
Yeah, no, we're not talking about sex. We're talking about how long you can last in the ring.
So still, 6 seconds.
Well, you said sex, so, you know, why not?
Hey. If it was sex, I will last as long as she tells me to last.
And you've got no choice, motherfucker.
Tim, what is one thing in this world you would get rid of if you knew it would be erased from the entire history of the human race?
What? Can you, like, say that, like, with some semblance of intelligence?
What is the one thing in this world you would get rid of if you knew it it'd be erased from the entire history of the entire human race?
Well, then, if it was going to be erased from the entire history of the human race, why would I have to worry about getting rid of it?
Still have to pick one thing.
You're overthinking now.
Yeah. Well, he's the one who's, like, reaching now for these things.
No, I'm not. I'm just randomly...
Wipe one thing from existence.
Wipe one thing from existence. Now, okay, by me wiping it from existence, does that mean that I wipe it from the entire history of the human race myself?
Yes.
Or am I overthinking it again?
No, that's exactly what you're doing.
Can I be general and say disease?
Sure.
Okay.
Now, which one?
No, you didn't say I had to be specific. That's why I asked if I could just be general.
I know. Anyway, Mace, what was your favorite
jerk?
What was your favorite band 5 years ago?
Favorite band 5 years ago, 2015, 2010.
Music wasn't worth listening to in 2010.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's like, oh, in 2010, I wasn't really listening to any music at that point.
I'd say Def Leppard, but it's not my question.
No. God, what was I listening to 5 years ago? So that's the thing, like, since probably about 2002, I've just been going through anything, really. But keeping away from more modern shit. I think 2010 was the year I really got into, like, Japanese stuff.
Alright, we'll take that as an answer. Okay, Omega, if...
Close enough.
Omega, if you were in an anime cartoon series, which one would you choose to be in and why?
Oh, dear God.
you're gonna cause his brain to explode.
Which one to pick?
See, that's the hard part about that kind of question is you can exist in that universe, but you're not going to be one of the people you want to be. You know, I could say Dragon Ball Z, but I'm not going to be one of the super muscled guys flying around shooting laser beams from my hands.
You're going to be the farmer with a power level of 5.
That would suck.
See, I'm trying to think of one where you actually do stand a feasible chance of actually being decent at something.
So there goes any action anime, there goes any harem anime.
Well, I'm a guy. You could
try a school drama slice of life thing.
God, you really did ask me a question that I could answer like a billion different ways. I'll stick to one. There's a anime called Outlaw Star, where it's very kind of Wild West in space, very edge of civilization frontier. Mm-hmm. You know, you get your light speed travel, you get like alien races mixed in. But it's also a place where there's a lot of magic, both in your traditional, like, I'm going to summon this dragon from the earth, and in your more modern, I'm going to load a magic bullet into a magic gun. But it's a very adventurous little world they created. I don't think I'd get bored there.
There you go. That'll do it for, another week of Quick Hits right here on Wrestle Talk Radio.
And that will do it for another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks once again, everybody, for joining us live, or those of you listening to the archives, because I know a lot of people listen to the archives because we're on a little bit late for some people, especially this time of year. So no worries. Don't forget tomorrow, immediately after WWE Raw, it's right after wrestling.
The only person who calls it that is Tim Stein.
That's what it should be called.
Join us for the Raw Post Show. What did Jon Stewart do? We'll tell you on the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, this Monday night.
Yeah, Thursday night, the multi-time award-winning internet webcast, The Rack, with your host, Lindsay Ward, at 10 o'clock Eastern.
We'll talk NXT, we'll talk a little bit of SmackDown, we'll talk all the news you can possibly handle, some probably Wyatt family stuff related. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can follow the show on Twitter at WTRTheRack, Facebook.com/WTRTheRack, check out the website, RackRadioShow.com, subscribe to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/WTRTheRack. You can check out Lindsay on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard, same goes for Behance.net/LinsWard. And you can go back to listen to last week's episode where she talks about her experience at SmackDown.
And on The Rack Extra, you girls talk about divas, don't you?
Yeah, The Rack Extra Total Divas Season 3, Episode 17 now available. Episode 18 will be available this coming week at some point whenever we get around to sitting and watching the show and recording our opinions on it.
I'm just impressed that I actually got away with saying you girls and referring to you and Lindsay, so that's awesome. Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as they can get to it, CB Radio! Rob!
It's because I pay no attention to you, Tim. Anyway.
Well, smarten up.
Check out the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. Use the hashtag BlameRob when you tweet at CBRadioWTR, Facebook.com/CigaretteButtsAndBandanas. Check out the website, CBRadioLive.com, where you can buy the official Keep Calm and Blame Rob t-shirts and bumper stickers and all that fun, happy stuff. Check it out. CB Radio, Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, and of course, Russ Talk Radio returns to its regular time and day next Sunday night at 10 o'clock Eastern, just like we did tonight. You can follow Wild Talk Radio Network on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio. You can also check out Facebook. facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork or facebook.com/groups/wildtalkradionetwork. I must have got it right because he hasn't said anything.
Good job,
Tim. That? Are you golf clapping me?
Yes, good job, Tim.
There you go. Follow me at Flames Forums on Twitter. And do me a favor, follow my friend Not Evil Ash on Twitter as well. Okay, Mace, plug your Twitter.
Yes, you can follow me as per usual on the Twitter machines at the Mace Thing. You can also go and check out my latest video game reviews over at youtube.com/WTR Games Garage, where recently I posted up a review of the Dragon Ball Xenoverse game. You can see what I say on there, and yes, Omega, it was actually positive, except I did make a whole heap of amateur mistakes. Am I right?
You're learning. Don't worry, Padawan. We will get you there.
Yay, Senpai.
Senpai noticed me.
Lana Senpai noticed me tonight. I win!
Japanese jokes that we are the only ones who get right now.
And pretty much. Nick Diddy in the chat room, right?
Yeah, get Diddy gets it.
There you go. All right, so next for plugging would be Omega.
Oh, let's see. I never have a fixed order for this, so we'll just go randomly. All my stuff is usually found on YouTube at TJ Omega or tjomega.org, where I post all the stuff that is inappropriate for kids to listen to, where, like, this show would be. I also have stuff over on Facebook at TJ Reviews or Twitter at TJ Omega. My March is going to be busy, as I have not one but two toys that cost me over $150 to review.
I hope you get paid for reviews.
I do.
Also, go buy his stuff on eBay.
Yeah. Expensive toys mean my wallet self-immolated earlier this week.
You know, these people should just send you the damn toys if you're going to review them for them.
They used to, but I don't like all the restrictions it comes with.
Oh, the restrictions mean that you have to review how they want you to review it?
I'm not going to get into it publicly, but...
Okay.
It's called until we're off the air, Tim.
It's called be positive.
I was just having fun. Jeez, I was just busting...
Whatever. No, the toy's supposed to break in half. It's for easy storage.
And as always, remember to go to Omega's MySpace page and click on his little ads on his MySpace page.
Oh, yeah, the MySpace page.
MySpace.com/...
With the ads from the Juicy Ads Network.
No one knows what that is.
Say goodbye, Tim.
It's the...
no one wants to know what that is.
The supplier of adult ads. Anyway, everybody...
Goodbye, Tim.
Have yourself a great week. Goodbye.
How does he know that?
Don't ask.
Base
told me.
WildTalkRadio.com.